500 years after Columbus arrived in the Americas, some of those displaced in the aftermath are recovering what they lost in the land named after the explorer himself. One of the big surprises to emerge from a recent constitutional convention in Colombia was the victory won by the country's 84 Indian tribes. Henceforth, Colombia will be considered a multi-ethnic nation with autonomous Indian regions and native tongues recognized as official languages. Much credit for inducing Colombia's central government to acknowledge Indian rights has gone to southwestern Colombia's Payés Indians. The Payés once lived in fertile plains bordering the Andes until Spanish conquistadores drove them into the mountains. But over the past few years, the Indians have begun to reverse that conquest, repossessing their ancestral lands from some of the oldest European families in the Americas. Producers Cecilia Weissman and Alan Wiseman visited the Payés in Colombia's Cauca province and filed this report.
In ancient times, a Payés Indian chieftain would climb a peak and look out over the surrounding rivers and green valleys. Whatever his gaze reached determined what belonged to his clan. He would then lead his people on a journey along the horizon of his vision, where they would break the sod to mark their claim. Now, Payés Indians are doing this again. A cattle hacienda in Cauca province of southwestern Colombia. Thousands of level acres sweep westward from the Andes, which rise like thunderclouds into the clear blue morning. More than 100 people, many of them barefoot, wield hoes with bamboo handles. They form a line that moves across the land, hewing the earth, breaking sod that has not been turned for nearly 500 years.
The tribal council said, instead of fighting each other, let's organize and go take over the flatlands that belong to our ancestors. Let's get together, become united, and decide to do it.
The Indians of this region have come down from the mountains to reclaim lands controlled since colonial times by descendants of the Spaniards. They were driven, they say, by rage over the murder of an Indian priest who had convinced them that they had rights to these lands. This place, Pilamo, was taken over last year. Since arriving, these people have endured living in tar paper shacks, drinking water from a ditch, and finding another leader, their council governor, assassinated in the road. But they intend to stay.
We lived all our lives cornered in the highlands, on poor soil that produced nothing. So we said, let's do it, and we did.
When the land takeovers began, the Cauca region's old Spanish families were stunned.
It started with notes slipped under the door, signed the Indian community.
Juan Caicedo recalls when it happened to his family estate. It was one of Colombia's first great haciendas, established in 1559, and among the first invaded by the Indians.
All we could see was that the land had been hoed. I tried to get protection from the authorities, but it's difficult to fight back because you don't know who these people are or where they are. They break the soil and then they're gone. Then it happens again in another place.
Next, it happened to his neighbor to the north, then to the west. By last winter, most of the prime land in Cauca province had been occupied by Payés Indians. The Indians tell how the takeovers began 7 years ago at this ranch called López Adentro. They came at 4 a.m., 600 Indian men, women, and children, sneaking onto the hacienda through the gate. After dawn, they were discovered. Soon the police arrived, followed by the army.
They were armed. All we had were shovels and machetes.
Edlane Tronches remembers.
En la cual ellos dijeron a nosotros de que nos daban 15 minutos para que nos saliéramos de aquí.
They said, you have 15 minutes to get out. We'd worked so hard to get this land. We didn't want to leave. They started shooting tear gas and guns.
Comenzaron a tirar gases lacrimógenos y a dispararle a la gente.
7 Indians died, 48 were wounded. The rest were driven from the hacienda. They camped in the highway, blocking it for 3 months. To defend themselves, the Payas Indians invoke the tradition of their warrior ancestors, who resisted the conquistadors longer than any other Colombian tribe. This time, they formed a guerrilla army and began a systematic campaign to unnerve the landowners.
Atención, personal.
The Indians called their army the Quintin Lame, named after Manuel Quintin Lame, a Payas leader imprisoned repeatedly in the early 20th century for instigating plots to recover Indian lands. After the first takeover, Quintin Lame guerrillas roamed the hills of Cauca, protecting each new territory reclaimed by the Indians. Dressed in faded fatigues, they patrolled the Payas region with hand-me-down weapons donated by Colombian leftist rebels, AK-47s and old hunting rifles refitted with homemade stocks. Many soldiers in this rebel platoon joined as teenagers. Claudia, weighted down by a soiled field pack, says she was only 12 when she became a guerrilla.
I decided to take up arms when my father was killed. We were demanding our rights. The army accused us of invading the land. That's why they killed him.
For 6 years, her home was a string of Quintin Lame camps tucked into mountain passes high above the territory they guarded. She and her comrades lived mainly on rice and sardines. At night, they would huddle around a single cook fire, no more visible from the settlements below than a flickering star. Often they marched for weeks, led by the Quintin Lame's commander-in-chief, Comandante Gildardo Fernández.
Si hubiera toda esa igualdad, de que tuviéramos todas las garantías.
If the Indians had equality, we wouldn't be traipsing across the Andes with guns hanging from our shoulders. We'd be in our communities.
At times, the Quintin Lame engaged the Colombian army in direct combat. More often, their movements through the region were calculated to terrify landowners into abandoning their family holdings. By last spring, many of the old landed families had fled their haciendas to the provincial capital of Popayán. Some resigned themselves to starting new kinds of businesses, like this conveyor belt factory owned by former land baron Juan Zambrano.
My great-grandfather was the biggest landowner in the region.
Juan Zambrano stands before pounding machines that are his family's new domain since the Quintin Lame appeared in his life. Zambrano still can't believe that their ancestral estate, granted by the King of Spain, is no longer his.
Had land, on the skirts of the Purace volcano.
La tierra da, en primer lugar, seguridad.
You know, land is security. It's always there. You assume that you get the land from your father and give it to your son, and losing it means we have nothing eternal. They took it away and took eternity from us.
Todo lo que ha significado seguridad y eternidad para nosotros.
Zambrano says he devoted his life to developing a model Holstein dairy using artificial insemination and genetic breeding.
Nosotros alcanzamos a ser los mayores productores de leche.
We were the largest milk producers in Western Colombia.
But a few years ago, his neighbor and 8 bodyguards were ambushed and killed along the roads Zambrano traveled each day to his dairy. Then, signs appeared that he might be next.
La guerrilla sí iba allá, ¿no?
The guerrillas came to my farm. I never saw them. When I came, they would leave. Like once, when I was on vacation, they spent Christmas there. They drank milk and slept in my bed. How could anybody stay there when something like that was going on?
The army unit that came to protect his estate stole so much milk and livestock that he finally begged them to leave. Visits by the Quintiname resumed. Juan Zambrano was hospitalized with a nervous breakdown. Finally, he says, he and other frantic landowners demanded that the Colombian government buy their property if it couldn't stop the guerrilla incursions. After nearly 20 generations, the Zambrano Hacienda became part of history. On the day that Juan Zambrano told his story, hundreds of pious Indians marched through the streets outside his factory. They were headed to the capital to demand seats in the National Convention held this year to rewrite Colombia's constitution. At the same time, Colombia's government was negotiating a truce with the Quintiname and other insurgents. Early this spring, there was a breakthrough. The government agreed to let the Indians help draft the new constitution. And on May 31st, the Quintiname fired the remaining ammunition into the sky and laid down their arms. A few weeks later, an Indian delegation, including a former Quintiname guerrilla, joined Colombia's historic convention.
Con leyes y decretos que favorezcan a los indígenas en Colombia.
By the end, the Indians won constitutional rights, granting them authority over their communities, money for development, and recognition of their territories on official maps of Colombia, a result unprecedented anywhere in the Americas. Back in Cauca province, Juan Zambrano's vast hacienda, once the biggest and most modern dairy in Western Colombia, is now in the hands of 50 pious families. For centuries, these men and their forefathers worked here for the Zambranos. The Quintiname uprising changed that. Now they must learn how to run this dairy themselves. And they're finding out it's not so easy. Before he left, Juan Zambrano sold off his best cows. Only a few old heifers remain in the pastures. Indian families are now living in the stalls that once held his prized bulls. The Indians have gone back to milking by hand. So far, they can't afford fuel to run the generator that operated Zambrano's stainless steel milking machines. At times, the older men, like Martin Salazar, find themselves recalling the old days.
La vida ha cambiado demasiado, muchísimo, así que uno...
It has changed a lot. We don't receive money the way we used to. Before, at the end of the month, we would get pay. And then in December, we could take a rest. Now, if we stop working, even for a day, we won't have any money.
No one has yet moved into Zambrano's country mansion. Inside, the trophies won by his champion Holstein silently gather dust. Among these Indians, there remains a certain awe for the man who lost his family legacy to them. But getting rid of him, they say, was worth it.
Pero uno, no, uno a rato se siente mal porque uno también es humano.
It makes us feel bad sometimes. We're human. But when you're poor, your family takes all the burden. Life's tough. Before, we were peons. Now our children will respect us.
Una cosa a ellos, pero realmente toca.
Now it's our turn.
Today in southwestern Colombia, the Páez and the descendants of the Spanish share an uneasy peace. The Indians have heard that they must wait for final legalization of land titles before they receive the benefits they've been promised. Rumors say that the Quintinlames' real weapons remain buried in the hills in case the new constitution is just empty promises on a piece of paper. Meanwhile, the former landowners are also waiting.
La tierra volverá a nosotros en 50 años.
The land will come back to us.
Indians are dreaming, Juan Zambrano believes, if they think that in the 1990s they can go back to farming the way they did before Columbus.
Con el paso de algunos años, volverá a suceder lo que tiene que suceder, pues.
With time, I think what has to happen will happen. Our children will repurchase the lands because they will be abandoned. Whoever wants to produce will eventually go back, even if we have to wait 50 years.
With Alan Wiseman, I'm Cecilia Weissman.